I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wale from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome back onto another edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad, and going to be with you for the next half an hour or so as we catch up with another member of the Coach Parry Online Training Club, and we head to one of the most beautiful parts of South Africa today. After a couple of weeks where we were in Australia and in the UK, we head back home and we touch base with Helen Squirrel today, who is training hard for Comrades. Some great questions. We're joined by Coach Marcus on today's podcast. And before we get into all of that, just a big heads up that this podcast is brought to you by Biogen this week. Your chance to win, thanks to Biogen, because they are giving you access to 3 months on the Coach Parry Training Club, as well as a Biogen hamper. And all you need to do to qualify is share your Biogen journey on social media. Use the hashtag Biogen Journey, and we could be making you a winner. We'll be announcing this week's winner at the end of today's podcast. Coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking Comrades qualifying. We're going to be talking about training just generally when you live in a very hilly place, and we'll also touch on altitude training a bit. A lot of people are lucky enough to live at a place of high altitude, and the benefits you can get from that in your training are pretty amazing. So that's all coming up on today's podcast as well, so make sure you stick around for that. And I get to give you some feedback on someone we've had on the podcast a couple of months ago, Lizanne Oosthuizen. We chatted to her. She did her first 10K after 32 years of not running. We spoke to her about that a couple of months ago, but she's continuing training and she's getting some great results. And she popped something in the forums this week after a run on the weekend that I thought I would share with you. And that's coming up at the end of today's show as well. So make sure you stick around for that. Well, we head to the little town of Clarence, one of the most beautiful parts of South Africa now, to catch up with our next guest. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Helen Squirrel on to Run with Coach Parry. Helen, welcome.
Thank you, Brad. Good to be here.
It's good to catch up. And we've got Marcus van Niekerk, one of our running coaches, with us as well. Marcus, nice to touch base with you once again as well. How's it?
I'm good. I'm good. And you, Brad?
Very, very good. We're going to get to you in a second. You can sit fast and listen to myself and Helen shoot the breeze a bit. But Helen, let's touch on your sort of running background and let's touch on Clarence first of all. Man alive, you are so lucky to live in that part of the world. It's one of my favorites. It's literally in the middle of nowhere for people listening to this, around the world. It is magnificent. It's beautiful. There's nothing around you. It's quiet. It gets cold in winter. Let's not, make it sound like it's heaven on earth. If you don't like the cold, Clarence isn't for you in winter. What took you to Clarence?
10 years ago, my husband was hijacked 3 times and we have the kind of business where we could operate from anywhere in the world. We came to Clarence a few times on holiday, fell in love with it, and landed up here.
From a running perspective, you don't get much better.
No, the running's hard. I come from a mountain bike background, actually. My husband and I actually met on bicycles. Clarence is beautiful, but the mountains are big. There's nothing flat about Clarence.
No, that's for sure.
And the training's hard. But altitude.
Yeah, that too. You are at altitude, but what they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So you must be quite a beast.
I don't know.
How long have you been running? I mean, you say you come from a mountain biking sort of background. How long has the running bug been bitten?
So I'm a bit of a late bloomer. I'm 46 now. So I'm in my golden years. I only started running approximately 10 years ago, seriously. Before that, while we were in Johannesburg, I used to do mountain biking, road biking. I ran a bit, but not a lot. So pretty much when we moved to Clarence, we bought some dogs. They happened to be pit bulls, and they needed to be exercised. And yeah, as I say, the rest is history.
What's the goal? What are you training for at the moment?
The training program I was on was a sub 3:30 marathon. I missed all the comrades' entries, but I managed to get an entry on Friday. So all of a sudden, everything shifted to comrades. So it will be my first comrades and probably be my only comrades.
Can we get that in writing now? Because everyone who's run comrades is having a good chuckle to themselves, Helen. That's never going to happen.
Look, I'm really good. I'm a trail runner by heart. And if you speak to all the people that know me in the trail running circles, I only ever do a race once.
But there's two different races at Comrades. You're running the up run this year. Next year's a different race. It's the down run.
I know. I don't know. We'll take a better one.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So moving from the 3:30 marathon program over to a Comrades, I mean, goals, aspirations, what are you secretly hoping for?
9 hours or just under. It's a big ask.
Okay.
So, yeah. I think I can do 9 hours. I'll be happy with 9 hours. I'll probably get 9 hours in 1 minute and be devastated, but, yeah, hopefully 9 or just under 9.
I'll tell you, it doesn't matter what your goal is at Comrades, just finishing that race is a massive accomplishment. So I know you do have aspirations for that sub-9, but, I mean, anything is good enough in my mind. Marcus, your sort of thoughts on – you've got Helen's sort of training questionnaire that we normally send out to our athletes. Your sort of initial thoughts, and then we can get into some back and forth with helping Helen put that plan together between now and race day.
Hi, Helen. It's good to have you on board. Just a few, mental notes from my side. My qualifier last year was a 3:32, I think. I did the Wally Hayward and, I managed to do an 8:46. My preparation might not have been the best, but, my previous years, my qualifier was, I think, about 12 minutes faster than that. And I happen to run an 8:22, if I'm not mistaken. But what I'm trying to get to is I don't think you're very far off if you aim for a sub-9 hour. And if you do follow the sub-9 hour program and coming from altitude, I can guarantee you've got a bigger chance of being successful than the average person because you come from such a high altitude. Yeah. Just for interest sake, when are you planning to come down before the race?
Haven't really thought about it. I know my husband booked accommodation the night before. But generally it will probably be literally the day before. I can't see us coming down any sooner than that.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, even better.
Does it help to go down better or, I mean, sooner, or is it better to just arrive, race and go home?
Look, if you're only going to arrive just before the race, I'd seriously hang around a bit afterwards. Not that you'll be able to walk anyway, but, But no, I think, look, the shorter the duration between coming from altitude to your race, the better, because it's the oxygen is going to be something surreal when you do a race from Durban to Maritzburg. It'll definitely play a big role on the day. But I'm looking forward to working through the questions with you and just maybe giving you some advice that you can use going forward from here to Comrades.
Okay.
Cool. Helen, let's jump into it. What do you sort of need help with at the moment? What are you struggling with? What can Marcus help you with?
Okay. So the shift from the 3:30 marathon plan to Comrades is, I'm finding, I did the Surrender Hill marathon on Saturday. And that was sort of my goal, on the 3:30 program to get a sub 30. I have won it before. I think it was 2015 or 2016, and I did it in a time of 3:30. So I'm a few years older now. But when I got the entry for Comrades on Friday, my husband said, listen, don't race it because it's just rather just use it for training, which I did on Saturday. So now I'm finding, I've looked at the program and I'm like, okay, what do I do now? Because everything slows down quite dramatically.
Okay.
You know, going from a sub 3:30 marathon training program to Comrades, you know, instead of running 5:20s and 5:15s, it's now all of a sudden closer to 6. So that transition is going to be a little bit difficult for me, but I suppose I've got to do it.
Just a quick one on your PBs that you post or that you listed.
Yeah.
When would they run more or less?
What do you mean? The ones I've already done. I did the Sasselburg Marathon in Feb.
Was that the 3:20 that you ran?
Yeah, and I was sick. I shouldn't have actually ran it. It was a terrible race. Yeah, I could have probably taken 15, 20 minutes off that. I really had a bad race. I should never have started.
Okay. Look, I mean, and that's what makes these calls so good, because when it comes to our time-based programs, we have to cater for someone that's just going to make bull run and someone that's going to make a bull run quite easily. So there's quite a wide spectrum, you know, of people that we have to take into consideration or you know, fitness and skill levels when doing these programs. But let's say we work off your 3:20, just for argument's sake. Yeah. I can give you your easy recovery and long run paces, you know, going into this or following the sub 9-hour program. I just quickly want to open up my calculator. Just give me a second.
While you're doing that, living at altitude and training at altitude, I don't have to change anything. So if you say to me a long run is 5:50 or 5:40 to 5:50, I can keep it at that, even though I'm up at altitude.
Yeah, you know, it's a tricky one, Ellen, because obviously you didn't run your marathon at altitude. Tell me which one, the 21-minute 5K, was that done in Clarence?
Yes. And I think it might have been a trail run as well.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So what I'm trying to get to is, if you can do some sort of time trial, or give me the time for your most recent hard run that you did, or race for that matter, in Clarence, then obviously that was at the same altitude. So I can work off that number and then work out your training paces for you. But look, if you say you could have gone easily 10 to 15 minutes faster on the 3:20 that you did the other day, look, we can work off that as a reference. I just changed the.
On Saturday, I ran the Surrender Hill Marathon.
Yes.
My husband said run it slow. I did a 3:44.
Okay.
That was an average pace of 5:20, and I felt extremely, extremely good. I could have, he actually drove up to me and told me to slow down. So I probably could have done a 3:30 on Saturday, but he wanted me to use it for training. So
look, so let's just for argument's sake work off a 3:20 and a 3:30. So if we work off a 3:20 marathon, your easy run pace could be anything from a 4:50 to a 5:25.
Yeah.
Your long run, a 4:50 to a 5:35, and then your recovery run from a 5:20 to a 5:50 per kilometer. Okay. If we go one step back and we work off a 3:30, then it influences the paces as follows. So then your easy run will be a 5 minute to a 5:30.
Yeah.
Your long run will be a 5 minute to a 5:40.
Yeah.
And then your recovery runs will be a 5:40. We'll make it, that's a bit too slow. We can drop it down to 5:30 to 6 minutes per K.
Okay.
That should be a good reference for you, just to work off, because there's a bigger risk in doing your easy runs too hard, as opposed to doing them too slow. You'll know full well when you're doing them too slow. I hopefully just gave you enough, you know, information for you to just be comfortable with your training paces from here on to Comrades. If you do a time trial, within the next few weeks, still leading up to Comrades, obviously I won't mind you contacting me and I can just adjust those paces for you. But what I just gave you now should give you a good, nudge in the right direction.
Okay. Getting onto the time trials, Clarence, mountains, there's nothing flat.
Okay.
There's nothing flat. We've got one stretch of road that goes past the golf course.
Yes.
And it's on I would say it's probably 2 kilometers long. But you sort of go down going 2 Ks and you've got to turn around and come up a bit of a drag. the other way. There's nothing flat in clearance. So all the time trials I do have got like 200 meter elevations. It's really difficult to try and figure it all out.
Yeah. Tell me, if you drive up the big hill towards Bethlehem, as soon as you get to that, look, that road isn't entirely flat either, but it's not really hectic. I've run there quite a few times myself. Yeah. Will it not be worth it to maybe do a warm up in that area and then do an out and back time trial?
I can try that. Yeah. It's a similar gradient to the road from Clarence to Fariesburg along past the golf course. It's pretty much quite similar. Yeah.
Okay. Look, I mean, even if you find a short stretch of road, and let's say it's even 1500 meters, then you can, or try and make it a round number that you either get to 4, 6 or 8, in my opinion. But, look, I'll put it this way. I've trained in Clarence quite a bit. And, if you need to manipulate the way that you're going to run that time trial, that's fine. As long as you run on the same stretch of road always. Okay. And, you know, by that, you'll be able to distinguish whether you're improving or not.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Cool. I've got a time trial route through town, but it is a bit, there's single track and stuff, which isn't ideal. I took Kate Roberts on a time trial the other day, and she said to me, I'm crazy.
I love it. Helen, you were also asking about the hill repeats as well, with it being so steep. Marcus, I think this is a great question, and it's probably not exclusive to Helen, but staying in a place where the hills are so steep, I mean, Helen was saying some of those hills are like eight degrees. That's how steep they are. Should you shorten your hill repeats? Do you like lower the amount of intervals that you are doing or repeats that you are doing in a set? How can you adjust your hill sessions if you do generally live in a very hilly place?
So, Brad, usually, referring back to our recording a few months ago, usually we work on a gradient of 4 to 5% and about 10 seconds per kilometer pace slower than your ideal 10K race pace or than your threshold pace. So ideally, if I were you, Ellen, I would look at something, anything between a 4:16 to a 4:25 per kilometer pace. It's quite tricky once again, because I haven't really experimented on hills that steep. But my suggestion would be is to rather, don't shorten the number of repeats, just rather add another 5, even if necessary, 10 seconds to that. But that, you know, having said that, that's also only true to a certain degree, to a certain point, because once the hill gets too steep, then you obviously slowly but surely leaning towards the end of I think you're going to get some injuries to cut it short.
On the 3:30 marathon program, I think Lindsay had to do 8 intervals, of 2 minutes or 400 meters.
Yes.
And I did it out on the Fariesburg Road, where the only stretch of road I could find, and it sat at about, it gravitated between 6 and 11 degrees, and it killed me. I did them, but it killed me. I did them at 4.5, but I was completely exhausted for like a couple of days afterwards.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Look, it is tricky. Even if there's a stretch of road that's got a very, very slight, a gradient to it, that's also acceptable, because 4 degrees isn't really that steep. I've trained there before, but I don't know the place that well to say, you know, go to point A and do it there. But you'll find out quickly if it's too steep. You're probably going to feel it first, either in your Achilles or the bottom of your feet, your plantar is going to flare up a bit. And that's already too late before you realize it. So just keep that in mind. So rather slow it down. And if you feel that's not making a difference either, then I'd say, then only do you start, you know, taking some of the rep count, playing with the rep count.
Okay.
Cool. Helen, you're also talking about ultramarathon, and there's one fairly close to you that I actually know quite well, because my dad has run it numerous times, and that's the Arthur Creswell, the Bergville Ladysmith. I think it's a 52, and you were asking, is that too late in Comrades preparation? When exactly is that on the calendar? I actually can't remember.
It's on the 9th of April.
That's perfect. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, if I can just jump in there, I mean, it's one thing I know a lot of people like Arthur Creswell because it's 52Ks, so you get the same amount of time, if I recall correctly, for an ultra that you do for like an ocean. So you're basically buying 4Ks. So if somebody's listening to this and they're a marginal qualifier for Comrades, that race is actually a really good one to do. It's not easy, and there's also not massive crowds, so it's not like you have this huge amount of support on the road, but you are buying yourself a bit of extra time, if I recall correctly, on the qualification side of things. But if you look at where Oceans is this year as well, timing wise, I also think it's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, because it makes sense to do it. It's just down the road, and it's you know, I haven't done an ultra. I've done a couple of years ago, I've done obviously ultras trail running, but I've never done an ultra on the road. So I know I've got to do one, and I wasn't sure if it's just too soon or too late. So if you say it's perfect, then I'll definitely do it.
Yeah, I think that is a good. You're also going to be doing some traveling between now and Comrades. Tell us a little bit about that, and you were asking about sort of how that's going to affect your training.
Yeah, we're away for 5 days over Easter. We're going to the UK to visit family. I've looked at the weekend, and it's quite a big training weekend, so I'm not too sure what I do. Do I try and stack up my training before I go, or I just forget about it and get on with it when I get back?
It's quite a tricky one, Helen. Look, one can either swap the week before with the week that you're in the UK. Yep. Just give me the exact date if you don't mind.
We're in the UK from the 17th until the 22nd of April.
That's the Easter weekend, Marcus. So that would obviously, in our programs, there's a big block in there for Oceans or whether it's Easter 100 Randburg. So because Helen's doing the ultra slightly earlier, how would that affect things or does it?
Yeah. No, look. If it wasn't for the ultra on the 9th of April, I'd be slightly concerned. But I'd say if you just try and do some running in that week with at least one decent long run, I think it's more than sufficient. Obviously banking on the fact that you will definitely do the ultra on the 9th of April.
The ultra, I think, is on the 7th. I'm looking at the calendar. I'm giving you the wrong
one. I was about to say, because the people down there do it differently. They do it on Tuesdays.
It's the mountains, and there's no oxygen up here. So. I'm looking. I was supposed to do a 3-hour 30 and a 2-hour on the weekend that I'm away. So,
if you can commit at least to one of the long runs, the weather shouldn't be too bad then. Anything's possible, but if you can try and commit to at least a 3-hour run on that weekend, that'll be perfect. And maybe get up a bit earlier and then try at least do one long run, instead of missing both entirely. I think it'll count in your favor.
And Helen, you were also asking about the trail versus road. Obviously where you live, there are some amazing trails. Marcus, does it make a difference if you do the long training runs on the trail as opposed to on the road?
No, it doesn't, Brad. But what one thing that Lindsay and I we're quite sensitive when it comes to just spending time on your feet. When I look at all my athletes, I have to draw a line between some of them and say, there comes a time in the Comrades preparation where I don't give my long runs in duration anymore because I feel that there's not enough mileage being covered. So what I do then is I say, okay, rather focus on mileage then. You don't strike me as someone who runs too little in a prescribed time, but I would say rather mix it up, as opposed to just doing your long runs on trail, because for me, it's about two things, actually getting the mileage, done. It's a big psychological thing as well, knowing that, oh, I did a 36K run in my 3-hour long run, as opposed to, and I know it can be very, very challenging when you do, exhausting when you do a trail run. But I mean, I've also done trail runs of 3 hours and only covered 12 kilometers. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is just be very, very careful that you don't, hurt yourself. Cause that's also happened to many people. But if you do mix it up, I'm sure it'll be fine come race day.
Okay. Before we go, one quick question. You'd think there'd be a lot more runners out here, but they're not. So I'm always on my own. How do I alleviate boredom? Cause I'm always on my own. I never run with anyone. Especially on the long runs.
it's a good question, especially if you're not a big fan of music.
I do play music.
Okay. So yeah. That's always my go-to remedy. Mm-hmm. I also do majority of my runs by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it gets really, really tough at times, but every now and then I treat myself with either a new CD that I buy or a podcast or whatever I'm listening to at the time. But I also try and switch it up that I don't run the same routes. I know it's tricky, especially when you live in a hilly area, that you should certainly have certain routes to avoid, you know, coming back half dead. But I always try and mix it up, especially my long runs. On long runs, I've got a rule that I'm not allowed to run the same run that I also the same route that I did in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And it just generally just keeps it interesting. New sights, new sounds. So I just try and keep my mind busy while I'm running.
Okay.
Helen, unfortunately we are out of time, but great to catch up and best of luck. We look forward to following your progress and we'll chat in the forums. If you've got any questions, you know where to post them. And thanks for your time today. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Marcus.
It's a pleasure. All the best and good luck with your ultra and the training and all those good things. And hope to see you at the expo. Come, comrades.
And that's it for this edition of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Marcus, as well as Helen for their time. Before I go, we still got the winner to announce in our hashtag Biogen Journey competition. But I said to you that I wanted to share a pretty cool story out of our success forums within the Coach Parry Online Training Club. And this one was, as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, was from someone that we chatted to a couple of months ago here on the show. And to give you some background, Lazan Oosthuizen was a very good runner as growing up, and then picked up some serious injuries, stopped running, and it was over 3 decades since she last ran a 10K. She joined us. We got her to finish her first 10K, and now she set the goal to go slightly faster. She wants to run under 60 minutes for a 10. And she posted this in the Success Forum on Monday. She said, "Hi, coaches. I was contemplating whether I should post or not, but my excitement just got the better of me. Although I'm only done with week 4 of my 60-minute 10K training plan, should have been week 8 if I didn't lose 4 weeks due to a niggle, I decided to still do the Vile 10K that I'd entered after my first 10K early in January. You might be a bit annoyed with me for not sticking to the training pace. I just felt so good and got totally carried away. So I finished with an official time of 1 hour and 36 seconds. I'm going to smash my 60 minutes goal and on the 27th of April, as on you are. You're an unbelievable Nick. Now I convinced myself that even though I missed 4 weeks of training, I did not lose as much as I thought, even though sometimes I felt like I was really struggling. I guess that might be comforting to someone else reading or listening to this. Now I'm going to stick to the training pace in my next race, which would have been my goal race. Anyway, I just had to share and say thank you for the training plan and assistance. As long as I'm running, my subscription to the Coach Parry Training Club will be a permanent fixture on my budget. Happy running, everyone. Lazan, you are a star. Well done. That is superb, and thank you so much for sharing that, and we can't wait to see what happens on the 27th of April. 36 seconds on 10Ks is nothing. You are just about there, so well done. Before we go, I said to you that you have the chance to win with us here at coachparry.com, and that's exactly what we are going to do now. We've been asking over the last couple of months to share your Biogen journey. We've been following James Hobber Hobson's journey to Ironman 70.3 in Durbs in June, and we're asking you to tell us what you're training for, and every week we're giving someone access, 3 months access, to the Coach Parry Online Training Club. This week our winner is Millicent Shy, saying training for a sub-4-hour marathon, posted on Facebook, use the hashtag Biogen Journey and hashtag Coach Parry as well. So there we go, Millicent. I'll be in touch via email. Congratulations. We've got you covered for the next 3 months here at Coach Parry. There's also a Biogen hamper on its way to you as well. Don't forget, if you'd like to win, just use those hashtags, Biogen Journey and hashtag Coach Parry, and we could be making you a winner next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you do enjoy this podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you shared it. If you listen to something and you think of one of your running mates or one of your training partners, please share this podcast with them. It's one of the ways that we can grow and help spread the message that we're trying to spread here at Coach Parry. And if you also wouldn't mind, if you listen to us on iTunes or on Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast, if you wouldn't mind just taking 2 seconds to leave us a review of the podcast, it also helps us grow by doing that. So that's it. Think of it as our virtual tip jar, if you'd like. If you'd like to give something back to the show, those are 2 things you can do to help. Until next week, from myself, Brad Brown, let's cheers.